So, move on to the second kind of part of our gathering. And earlier on, I sort of touched on some of the themes of waiting, of anticipation, of preparation. And I've also just touched on there in my prayer around the themes of hope, joy, peace, and love. And this is something we've done before. We've taken an Advent service like this, and we've heard from different members of our church family about how they've experienced God's hope, peace, joy, and love, and shared something of their stories, of their testimonies. And I don't know about you, but I found it enriching and inspiring time. So we wanted just to do that again. And on this occasion, we've invited Eric for Doug Lowry and Jenny Shepherd to come. We'd also invited Priscilla to him as well, but unfortunately she's unwell, so can't be here. So I've quickly rustled up another plan. Won't be anybody as good as what these guys share, but we'll get to watch a little video, which is very good actually, and we'll do it in a different way. So I'm really, really, really excited just to hear what these guys have to share with us these next sort of 20 minutes, and they're going to come and just light the Advent wreath as well. So let's just open our hearts to all that God wants to speak to us about as each one shares. And Eric, why don't you come up? And then they're just going to, each of them are going to follow on after that. So, great.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Then we set the place on fire. My word. Hope. What about hope, eh? Of course, in today's English and today's society, hope is a bit of a wishy-washy idea, isn't it? Well, I hope it'll happen. I don't think it will, but I hope it will. But funnily enough, in the scriptures, hope is far stronger. The Greek word that is translated as hope actually means expectation. Anticipation. And when I think back to over my life, and I suppose one of the clearest times I had such a sense of expectation and hope and anticipation was the day after I put my faith in Jesus. And I remember I lived out at Tadley at the time. I was working at AWE. I was living in a hostel that has since disappeared. It's been demolished and replaced with houses. But I used to walk into work every day. Now, I know you find it hard to believe that I would walk anywhere, but nonetheless, then I used to walk into work every day. And I remember that morning, March the 20th, 1967. Now, I don't know whether the birds were singing or not, but they were for me. And I don't know whether the sun was shining. But it was for me. But the thing that overwhelmed me, the thing that really just flooded my thoughts, my heart, was this expectation. I have a new life, full of expectation, full of possibilities, full of potential. Wow. And it really, that just, wow. And it must have had an effect because I noticed all sorts of people and my colleagues began to say, hey, what's happened? You're different. What's going on? It was that radical. And it wasn't even of my doing. In fact, I mean, one very simple example is before I had a real potty mouth. My, effing and blinding all over the place. I mean, this was the 60s, and that's where we were getting free, weren't we? All of that disappeared without a single piece of effort. All of a sudden, my language got cleaned up. And as I say, my colleagues were, hey, what's happened to you? You're different. What's going on? Really opened up all sorts of conversations, sometimes to the detriment of doing the work, but there we are. Anyway, so that was my first experience of hope. Expectation. But of course, hope is more than just that, isn't it? Our hope. And I was reminded of this yesterday morning when I was reading in Isaiah. I've just bought a little book called The Anticipated Christ by Brian Zand. And it's a series of readings throughout Advent and up to Epiphany. So up to January 6th. And yesterday's reading was from Isaiah 25. And there the prophet talks about how at the end of the age there's going to be this huge banquet, a feast. Death's going to be swallowed up. All the tears are going to be wiped away. Now, I bet you thought, like me, hey, I only thought that was in Revelation. No, this was back in Isaiah, and that's the expectation. And that is the even bigger hope that we all share. That there's going to come a day when Jesus returns, and death is going to be swallowed up in life. The whole of the heavens and the earth are going to be renewed. And in fact, what strikes me is, if I can find it, is that this is a hope that is not just for us. This is a hope that is shared by the whole of creation. But this is what Paul says. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And this is it. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revelation of the sons of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That is the hope. Doesn't that excite you? I tell you what, this is, and for Christians, I think we need to recognize this is the hope. Not going to heaven, but heaven and earth being reunited. And we are going to be part of that. That is some hope. There you go. Something to look forward to. Lord, please come again and make it happen soon. Amen. Thank you.
Trying to follow on from Eric is difficult. And I'm terrible at keeping my train of thought, so I've had to write it down because I waffle and I forget where I am and can't put pieces together. So hopefully it'll make sense. So I'm doing peace. Do you want me to light the candle? This is the second candle of Advent, peace. It's quite apt that peace was chosen for me to speak on because peace is a huge part of my life. I've been through many trials. All of us have been through many trials. But peace is something that I've hung on to. And I've hung on to two scriptures that are sort of things that I really hold on to tight. The one is John 14:27. Where Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And the second one from Philippians 4:6-7. I'm going to read the whole bit because it puts a bit more into context. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the two more recent events in my life, big events that have required me to really just lean into God and grab hold of peace in a time where you're anxious, you're troubled, you're confused, you're worried. Was back in 2018 when I was diagnosed with cancer. That was the first thing that sort of hit me, thinking, why me? I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm everything else. And so all these questions start coming in. You start becoming fearful, all these sort of thoughts about what the outcomes of cancer are. We know how serious that can be. And the second one, more recently, some of you might be aware of, when I had my back operation, and worse than that was when I was rushed back into hospital with complications, and that really put fear into me, made me incredibly anxious, because I didn't know. Nobody knew. You know, I was rushed in. Nothing was explained to me. I didn't understand it. I just knew it wasn't good. And just leaning into God in those times and remembering these scriptures and praying these scriptures and knowing that God is the God of peace. And the miraculous happens, not just the miraculous of healing, but the miraculous inside me. I did experience that peace. It's not a manufactured peace. You couldn't make it. You couldn't create it. It was a supernatural peace, but I just felt an absolute calm in that storm. And that's what carried me through these really, really difficult times, was just God's peace. And when you think of this time of Advent, you're thinking, how does that sort of fit into it? But I just love in Isaiah, when Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of Jesus hundreds of years prior to his coming, and in Isaiah 9, verse 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He is the Prince of Peace, and only he can give true peace that can't be gained in this world today. And that, to me, is something that's always, I hold on very tightly to.
I like the third candle, and that's the candle of joy. So what is joy? The dictionary definition is it's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And when you're doing worship like we had today, thank you so much. Oh, wow, wasn't there so much joy in that worship? I just loved it. But to be honest with you, when Dan first asked me to speak on this particular aspect of Advent, my heart sank a bit. Because actually, I find Christmas quite difficult. My idea of Christmas has changed because my circumstances changed, and it makes it much more difficult when you're approaching times like that. And I sort of thought, gosh, how can I talk about joy when I find Christmas hard? But then I thought, actually, it's different. It's not about that. It's not about how I'm feeling in that situation. It's about how I'm feeling in my relationship with God and with Christ. And it's just... it goes so much deeper. And do you know what? You can find a joy even when it's dreadful, when you've got Jesus in your sights. Do you know, it was interesting. I was going through a few things at home just yesterday, and I came across a file that I didn't even know I had. And when I opened the file, it was a file. The first thing I picked up was the piece of paper that was written on the day that I gave my life to Jesus with the actual prayer that I said, which I didn't even know I'd kept. So that was just amazing. And then the other thing as I went through were prophecies that had been given to me back over the years. And they were before my life changed. And do you know what? They're still real, and they're still... It doesn't matter that my life has changed. And the joy that gave me was incredible. If you look at Luke 2, verse 10, it says, "Do not be afraid, for I bring great joy to all people." We all know it really well, don't we? We say it every Christmas. And it's telling of the birth of Jesus, through whom we have salvation. And it's such a happy declaration to the shepherds who drop everything to go and see this special baby. And there are times in our lives when it's really easy to find joy. But through Jesus, there's joy no matter what we have going on. In James 1, 2-3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Corrie ten Boom was a Christian living in the Netherlands during the World War II, and her family hid Jews in their home until they were arrested. And Corrie ended up in the horrors of Ravensbrück concentration camp. During this time, she never lost sight of God. And following her release, she became a very well-known speaker. And here are some of the things that she says about joy in struggles. When you're powerless to do a thing, it's a great joy that we can come and step inside the ability of Jesus. True Christian joy isn't dependent on circumstances, but runs deeper than despair, coming from a deep-seated faith and trust in God. And as we think about joy over this Advent period, let's reflect on these things. It's a joy to know that God is with us, no matter what we're going through. We joyfully wait for God to fulfill his promises to us, and we can be confident that God's joy is not a fleeting happiness, but comes from his steadfast love. Fantastic.
Very good, thank you. I'm going to now light the fourth candle, which is the candle of love. Said a few minutes ago that it wouldn't be anywhere near as good, but actually I said that because nothing can quite replace hearing someone share their own stories and testimonies. But I think what we're going to show now is I'm going to show you a little video by the Bible Project, which is good, so around on the theme of love. So we're going to watch that together, and then we'll take it from there. Good, isn't it? Something to go away with, to think about how have you known God's love in your own life, maybe in this season. How are you experiencing God's love? And how in this season do we share God's love with other people? This crazy holiday Christmassy season, how do we show God's love to others? Yeah. Fantastic. Wasn't it wonderful hearing, particularly from Eric, from Doug, and for Jenny? And guys, just fantastic. Really appreciate all that you shared with us, for your willingness to do it, for being vulnerable with us, for sharing something of your own story, your journey, and for, yeah, just opening up those areas to us, that we can experience God's hope, his peace, his joy and love. So can we give these guys just a round of applause for what they've shared with us?